Lord Jesus, we bow before you and acknowledge you to be the worthy one. You are altogether lovely. You're the pre-existent one. You're the one through whom the worlds were made. You existed before we did. You know all things. You're the Word of God the Father. You're the darling of heaven, worshipped by the angels. You are our Saviour. You are our rescuer, the one on whom we depend for life and death and heaven afterwards. And we're here this morning to bring our praises and our worship and our attention to focus our lives back to you, our leader and our Lord. Through you, we come to our great Father God. What a wonderful thing to call and to know that the King of all creation, the God of all creation, is ours and we are his. So we bow in worship before you, maybe not physically, but in our hearts. Help us to do that today. And whatever is happening in our lives and in the midst of this time of turmoil and frustration and disappointment and fear and fog in our world, we come to you, the one who's always the same, the one who is working out his plans and his purposes, and we put our hand in yours again and say, Lord, we're yours, we're trusting you. Would you help us this today, this morning, whatever is going on in our lives, whatever's going on around us, just to refocus on you and to start to follow you afresh. So help us. Receive this, our worship. And would you be kind enough, would you be gracious enough to pour out your Holy Spirit so that we might feel that connection, that we might feel it, not just know it in our heads, but we might feel it in our very being, that we are yours and you are ours, with the peace and the joy that comes from that. Hear our prayers as we start this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's carry on and have a song that we can all join in with. It's a song by Matt Redman, We Are Here For You. And that's why we join together on Sundays. That's why we exist. We start a new series today looking at the church. And one of the things we will see as we look at it, that we are here as God's church for him. So let's use this song, bring ourselves and say, Lord, we are here for you. Have your way among us. Here for you.
Praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven.
May God be welcome in our hearts. We're not in a place, are we? But the place can be our hearts where he's welcome. Today, New Year is like new beginnings. And this year, at the beginning of the year, the first of the year, somebody came to live with us for a little while. So I want to introduce to you, here we are. Here is Emma. She's our daughter.
Hello.
So give her a wave. Make her feel welcome, can you? And can you do your stuff as well?
Yeah.
So this is Emma. And tell us a little bit about yourself, Emma. Where do you normally live?
I normally live in Bury St Edmunds,
okay.
But my tenancy ran out of my flat and it starts again in February, so I've come back for a month.
You come back to live with us, and what do you do
in Bury St Edmunds? I am a nurse.
You're a nurse?
Yeah.
Excellent. And how's that going with COVID and all of that?
Interesting.
You've had a lot of that in the... You've got a problem.
Yeah, it's just a bit breezy in here.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. We'll plod on anyway. What's your favourite animal?
A sloth.
A sloth. Do you know what a sloth is? Any of you guys know what a sloth is? Put your hand up. Children, do you know what a sloth is? Good. Tell us what a sloth is, Emma.
It's a very slow, lethargic animal, which right. I think I am probably...
It's like you in the morning. Yeah. I had to get you out of bed for this bit this morning, didn't I?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
What's your favourite chocolate in Quality Street?
A little triangle.
The little triangle. The green one. Yeah. The little green one.
Heck.
What is the problem with this breeze going
on?
Is there a window open here somewhere? Well, let's just have a little look. If I turn this round, perhaps we can see the cause of the wind. There you are. Look, and look who's got the fan this morning. So you know who to blame on that one. Let's put that back to, I think, about where it was. Emma, thank you very much.
Thank
that
you.
Will do. And Andrew, can you put your fan away? That was very distracting to have a fan blowing. Oh, and I didn't get to ask Emma what her favourite food is. What's your favourite food, Emma?
Snack-wise, crisps. Meal-wise, roast.
Do you know what? You got both of those today.
Yeah, I'm very lucky.
There you are. And what's your favourite music band? Who do you like listening to on the radio or Spotify? Who do you listen to?
Gosh.
One Direction when they were a thing. I'll tell you what, she's so trendy, isn't she? She takes after her dad, clearly. Listen, why did we do that? Why did we get Andrea to blow, to get the fan, to get the wind blowing? The point was, when Emma was standing there, you could see her hair blowing and you could see the plant on the mantelpiece was blowing, but probably you didn't know where it came from. And you might have been thinking, where's it from? What's happening there? And it wasn't until we turned around that you knew for sure, even though Rory had a really good guess, didn't you, fella? We could turn it around, we could see it was a fan. And that reminds me of the Bible, and Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, who is God. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is like a wind. You can see what he does, but you can't always see. You can't see him. The wind, you could see the wind blowing Emma's hair, but you couldn't see the wind. And in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is compared, who is God, was compared to a wind. And when Jesus was talking to the man called Nicodemus, he said, the wind, the Holy Spirit, blows where he wants and does what he wants, even though you can't always see him. Here's the thing, children and adults, the most important thing for us as a church, most important for you as a child, is that the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And you know, the wonderful thing is, when we follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And he is the most powerful thing. He's the one that made Jesus come back from the dead. It says right at the beginning of the Bible that before the world was made into what it is, that the Holy Spirit was there and it was like brooding over it, blowing over, ready for when God spoke and the Holy Spirit would make it all happen. And when Jesus started, after he was born, before he started to teach people, he got baptized and the Holy Spirit came into him and helped him to do wonderful things. So at the beginning of the year, the most important thing for us is that we know we've got the Holy Spirit in us and that he can do incredible things. We can't see him, but as we follow Jesus, he will help us to do things so that we can see the effect of that in our lives. Things like helping us to not get cross and to give into temptation and hit people or tell lies or be nasty or disobey mum and dad. The Holy Spirit can help us do the right things. Can't see him, but he will help us. So you can always ask him, you can always talk to him, ask him to help you to do the right thing. So a little reminder at the beginning of the year in our lives, we need the Holy Spirit and we need to ask him to help us to do things that otherwise we wouldn't be able to do. But let's come to God's word now together. Mary is going to read for us this morning. She's going to be reading 1 Corinthians. So get your Bible, get your device, tablets, whatever you want to read from. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And she's going to be reading from verses 1 through to 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, as we launch into our new series, looking at the church. Thank you, Mary.
1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mary. Not going to expound that passage, but there's a couple of things in there that I will refer to as we think about the church. So amidst the gloom of lockdown, we've got an exciting year ahead as a church. I really think we've got an exciting year ahead in all kinds of ways when we start to be able to meet back together again. And surely this year we're going to be able to do that at some point, aren't we? And of course, we've got the big thing of our new building looking ahead and moving back for us. That's not too far ahead. If you've had the opportunity to go up there, you will see it's coming on a pace. If you haven't and would like to have a look, have a word with Trevor, Peter, get my names right, Peter or Owen or Stuart or Jean, they would be pleased to take you around. You can have a look at it. It's coming on a pace. It's not too long before the place is going to be able to be used for us in our work for the Lord. But it means that it's time for us to start to get ready. Time to start get ready to move there and to do the change. We're going to spend a few weeks then in terms of preparation for that, going back and revisiting, making sure we've got clear in our minds what we're about as a church, what we are, what our mission is, and a little bit of how we will go about or how we go about doing that and why. In a way, we're going back to these Martin, can you show me the first slide on the PowerPoint for us? We've got an introductory slide here. We've got this is where we are with the church. Today, we're going to be looking at what is the church. If you can click on this is the key one here. This is the footings, the foundations of our building. I think this was probably taken March time, maybe a little bit around about that time. But what we've got here is the foundations, the footings. What you can't see is that those concrete lines go down 4 or 5 feet to make sure that the building that's gone up and is now being fitted out is built on strong foundations. So it's not going to move one way or another. And those foundations, those footings that you can see, set the shape of the building. Once they're in, they define what the building will look like as it goes up, the shape of it, where the walls are going to be, how big it's going to be. The foundations govern the building that's going up. And we need to make sure that as we continue to build the church, as we continue to go about God's work, that our foundations are, or we are building on the right foundations. With any organization, there are many things that can shape how it acts and what it does. Over time, those things can change. It can indeed be the building that they inhabit. It can be the people that run it. It could be personalities. It could be the programs that are run. Or it could be traditions and the customs that have always operated. It could be any of those things. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with them. But the key thing is that underneath and overround all of those things, that we're basically guided and shaped by the foundations of the Bible. This is our guide in all things. This is what's got to shape us. This is what's got to help us as we move forward and as we make our own customs, our own traditions, as we start from scratch in a way. We've got a clean slate on which we can do our work for the Lord, and we can serve him and we can worship him, and make sure that this book, God's word to us, is the thing above everything else. It's our foundation, the truths and the teaching and the example that we find in here. So as we embark on this new era together, we're going to be looking for a few weeks at our foundations to make sure we're guided and built and established on God's plans, not mine, not yours or anybody else. So this morning, we're going to start looking at the very basics. Make sure that we understand, what is the church? It's a very simple question. What is the church? So we'll look and try and establish, take some principles from it as to what we really are. The word church is used in a number of different ways, isn't it? A lot of people will say, oh, I went to church. Or, do you want a church wedding? Or we have a funeral in this particular church. We might drive past a building and say, oh, that's a nice looking church. But that's not what the Bible has in mind when it talks about church. When it uses the word church, it has something quite different in mind. The church, and here's the first thing, this is foundations, and I know that most of you will know this, and I'm aware that we're going over old ground, but we just got to make sure we're all on the same page. The church is the people. Martin, show us that next thing. So the church, here we go. The church is the people. A little graphic that I think vividly illustrates that. You know, the Bible was written in the New Testament. Much of it was written in Greek. And church is a translation of the Greek word ecclesia. I'm going to try and pretend I'm trying to be clever. I know a smattering of Greek, but not very much. And I would certainly be very careful when I know that Gerasimus is listening up here. But this I know, that church is a translation of the Greek word ecclesia. And it helps us to understand what an ecclesia was, to give us an idea of what the church is. You see, an ecclesia was a group of people that came together when they were called by the town crier. It wasn't a religious word. It wasn't a spiritual word. A town, let's take, for example, the town of Ephesus. Ephesus would have a group of people that would be governed by an ecclesia. Those ecclesia would be called out at certain times when there was a need to make a judicial decision, when there was a need for elections, when there was a time when something need to be decided in the town. The town crier would call out the group of people that had been elected for that word. Those people were the ecclesia, called out for a particular person. So that would be what the ecclesia was. The definition is a people who've been called out. And it's interesting that the Septuagint, I don't know if you're familiar what that is, it's the Greek translation of the Old Testament. The Greek translators of the Old Testament used this ecclesia word to describe God's people, Israel, in the Old Testament. So when it spoke of God's people, the people of Israel, the Jews, it called them the ecclesia, the called out from God. And it's that sense that continues when we move into the New Testament. The church, the people of God, are called the ecclesia, called out by God. So what I want to do this morning is to look at the Old Testament and to see how the relationship with God's people mirrors our relationship with him. We'll look at the Old Testament, how God called them, and then we'll see how he calls us. And it will help us to understand what the church is. So we are doing a bit of theology at the moment. It's a topical message, but we've got quite a bit of theology. So hang in there, but it will build our foundations. And we need to have these so that we all understand them. So first thing, and Martin's just put it up on your screen. The first heading for this morning, that the church is made up of people who've been called out by God. Called by God. The people of Israel started, the Jewish people started when God called out one man. Started with the man Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, you can read about it. And it says this, and it should come up on your screen for us. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, in other words, the Lord called Abraham, and he said to him, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. So he called him out from where he lived to go to a new place. And Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees where he lived. His family grew, and in a time of famine, they moved down to Egypt. And in Egypt, they flourished. They grew to such a degree that the rulers of Egypt were afraid they would take over the country. And so they were put into slavery and servitude. And that lasted for a long time. That only changed when God raised up a man called Moses. And in Hosea, we read what God did. Listen to this. It says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called him. So when God rescued the Israelites from the slavery of Egypt, it was God calling them out. He released them from the slavery. He led them through the Red Sea. He led them 40 years in the wilderness until eventually they got to the promised land. And all of that was the action of God. They were what they were. They went where they went because of the actions of God. They were his people. They were unequivocally called by him. It wouldn't be an understatement to say that the nation only existed because of the action of God. And they only remained in existence because of the keeping and the power and the care of God. That's Israel in the Old Testament. And the same is true, and it parallels the church, the ecclesia, in the New Testament. Just as Israel were called out of slavery, so we, each of us, each person in the church, the ecclesia, we are part of the church because we too have been called out by God, called out of slavery. The Bible's very clear that by nature, we are all slaves to sin. We're not in God's kingdom. We're actually enemies, at enmity, working against him. That's our natural state for every single person. The only way we get out from that situation is when God calls us out. It is a divine action. It's a supernatural work. It's a new birth. It is the work of God to take us from one kingdom to put us into a new kingdom. The church is the called out of God. That's why one of the reasons we read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because twice that word is used in that. Martin, can you give us that thing on the screen, the verse on the screen? In verse 9, it says, God who has called you. Okay, the church exists. He's writing to the church, the local church in Corinth, but it's God who called you. They were only part of the church because God has called them. If he hadn't called them, they wouldn't be part of the church, whatever else had happened. Romans chapter 8, verse 30 says, those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. There is this calling of God. So here's the first thing. As we identify what is the church, the church, according to the Bible, is those who've been called by God, the people who've been set free by him. Tells us we don't join the church by being baptized. We don't join the church by putting our names on a list, by being a member of a local church. Might be how we join a local church, but it's not how we get part of the big church, the global church, the church of Christ on earth. That happens through a calling. It's a spiritual thing. It's the work of God that we need to respond to. Need to ask us then? It's an appropriate point, isn't it? Have you felt God call you? Have you taken that step of faith to trust Jesus as your Saviour and Lord? Without that new birth, without being born again, without being saved, a person can be part of a church, but not part of the church. The church, in God's eyes, is those who've been called, those who've responded to the word of God, to the call of God, and have repented and turned to Jesus to follow him. So, number one, the church is those who've been called by God. Number two, the church we'll see as those who've been called for God, been called by God, but a people who've been called for God. Let's go back to the Old Testament. The Ecclesia, the Israelites, were called by God for a very special reason. God wanted them to be in a special relationship with him. Look at this. You can see it on your screens. You will be for me a treasured possession. God called them to be in a particular relationship with him. It was a unique relationship where God lived, dwelled in a particular way with him. There's a particular relationship between them and God. When Jesus called the first disciples, Peter and John, Peter and Andrew, John and James, he said, come and follow me. In other words, come and be with me. When God calls us, he calls us to be with him. We have been called out by God for him, to live for him, to live and work for him. In other words, church isn't for us. It's not for me. And I say it with the greatest of respect, it's not for you either. It's not here to comfort us. It's not here primarily to help us feel better. It's not here to help us get through life and to have people around us to pray for us and to care for us. It does that for sure. And at best, it should do that at least. Primarily, though, we're here for God, to be for him. So church is called by God and we're called for him. The third thing is that we're a people who've been called to be together in God. What is the church? People called by God, people called for God to be for him a treasured possession, but a people called to be together. And that togetherness is absolutely crucial, to be together in God. Again, show you from the Old Testament, then we'll bring it into the New Testament. When God called the Israelites out of slavery, he called them as a nation. He called them as a group of people. He called them together. Together they left Egypt. Together they went through the Red Sea. Together they went round the wilderness because together they had sinned against him. Together they ate the same food. God didn't treat them as individuals. There was this nation sense. They were in it together. They fought their enemies together. They were given the rules, the Ten Commandments, together. There's a great togetherness. They went together in eventually into the promised land. And what affected one affected them all. I'll give you one negative example of that, if I may. A man called, not long after they'd gone into the promised land, a man called Achan thought it would be clever and thought he could feather his own nest by taking something that he shouldn't have done for himself. He thought, nobody will know. It won't affect anybody else. He took some gold, he took some clothing, he kept it under the ground sheet of his tent. The consequence of that one man's action meant that the next time the army of the nation went into battle, they lost against all odds. And when they said to God, how come that's happened? He said, because one of the people has broken the laws. You see, what this is, this togetherness. What happened with one affected everyone. This togetherness, we're called to be together. There's mutual accountability. And that was Old Testament. In the New Testament, we see the same kind of thing. To be a part of the church is to be with other people. It's never a private thing. Some people will say, well, I can be a Christian, but I don't have to be part of the church. Mm-mm. To be a Christian is to be part of the church. To be a Christian is to join with. It is to be connected with. The Bible nowhere gives us a single example of a person being a Christian by themselves. We're called to be together. We're called into a community, into the church, the people of God. And like the people of Israel always work together, we see the same thing in the New Testament. I'll give you one verse for this. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6 shows this very clearly. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles, so that's the non-Jews, are heirs together with the people of Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. It's this togetherness that is really important. If we're part of the spiritual church, we've become part of God's family. He's called you to be part of the new community. He's called us to worship together, to work together, to help each other together, to encourage each other, to work mutually, to support each other together. The church is a thing of togetherness. It's just part of the fabric, the DNA of what we are. We're called by God, we're called for God, and we're called to be together in God. There's really only one true church. We might have a local expression of that. For us, it's a Baptist church here in Fressingfield, but we're part of the church, the global church, which is why it's important that we listen and learn and pray for and support and get involved with the wider church. Next Sunday evening is a great way to help us with that, as Dan comes and talks to us about what it's like being a Christian in other countries. It's a bit like Asda being part of the Walmart family, if you like. There are Walmart stores all over the place. Asda is part of the Walmart. It's just one little example of that. And we are one example, a small part of the big church. So the local church matters. Indeed, most of what God does is through the local expression of the big church. Most of what he does happens through churches like us working together. Called by God, called for God, called together in God. And lastly, we're called to be together with God. Churches are people called together to be with God. Abraham was called to a country. There was a destination for his journey that he was to embark on. It was to go somewhere. And it's the same with us. We have been called to go somewhere. We're on a journey. We are pilgrims. That all of our tomorrows spoke about the loss of people and the situation we're in reminds us that we're passing through, that we're on a journey. We are on a journey with God. We've been called out of the spiritual Egypt. We've been called out from sin, called out of one kingdom, put in another kingdom to journey towards a future inheritance. Let me give you a verse in Ephesians chapter 1. Look at this. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is guaranteeing our inheritance for what? For this life? No, it says until the redemption of those who are God's redemption. Until the redemption. That's speaking of the time when Jesus comes again. That's speaking of the time when this old earth, with all its sin, with all its corruption, with all its defilement, with all its pain and all its suffering and all its viruses, with all its lockdowns and shutdowns, when that this world will be, and all the traces of sin will be, sin will be done away with. The earth will be restored and renewed, and we will be together with him. That is our destiny. That is what the church is. It's a people called ultimately to be with God in his perfect heaven. It's not something just a little organization or an institution for now. We've been called on a journey. It starts now, but it ends up with him in the new heavens and the new earth. We're not an institution. We're a living, changing, vibrant organism, walking together, serving together with the Lord for his purposes here on planet Earth. So that's the start of the foundations for us. What is the church? It's a people called by God, called for God, called to be together in God, and called to be with God at the end. That's what we're working for. That is what we are. So some essential questions as we come to conclusion. The basic one is, are you a member of that church? Are you personally a member? Do you know? Are you sure you're part of that church? And if you're not, then how do you get a member of that church? How do you become a member of the church? As I said it just now, by faith in Jesus, by trusting him to deal with your sin. It's asking him to take away your sin, asking Jesus to forgive you. That's why he died. It's trusting in Jesus' death on your behalf. It's not about trying to be good. It's not about going to church. It's not about logging onto Zoom or watching YouTube. It's not about having a Christian allegiance. It's not about being baptized as a baby or being baptized as an adult. It's about a connection by faith with Jesus and having him as your leader and Lord, and letting him call the shots in your life. So let me ask you, have you done that? It's wonderful to have you part of you know, our gathering, but are you part of the church? You see, without it, at the end of the day, you won't be part of that new heaven and a new earth. You won't get to enjoy that. You'll be separated from God forever. And the words of Jesus is that that separation will be a separation of pain and suffering and misery for all eternity. This is really life and death. This is heaven and hell stuff. Crucial that we're part of it. And I can't say who's in and who's out. Only you can do that with your decision and your choice to follow Jesus. If you are part of the kingdom, if you're part of that church, you will know it because, as we said with the children, you'll have the Holy Spirit in you. And one way or another, he will show with the changes in your life, the changes of your heart and what you try to do and your desire for Jesus and your love for him and your commitment for him, your hatred of sin, your desire to move away from it. You will know it will be there. And his call for us is to be part of and to work with, together with him in his church. And that is what we're about. As a church, working together under the plans for the purposes of God, playing our part as best as we can, not being a consumer, but being a contributor. What can we give? What can we give to him? It's about giving for to him rather than what we can receive. So as we move forward this year, this is the foundation. The church is built on the action of God. We are because of God. May he help us to keep devoted to him, serving him, following him. And in the coming weeks, we'll start to look up. So why has God called us? What does it mean? What does it look like? The working together. What does that look like in practice? May God bless his word to us and shape us together, that we're equipped and ready to be fully his church in this exciting year that lies ahead. Let me pray with us, and then we're going to sing, or we're going to have a song to finish with that just seeks and prays for God to come and build his kingdom and his kingdom in our life and in our world. Father, we have looked at the foundations this morning, from your word, we've sought to dig deep. We've sought to go back and look at what we are so that what we will be in the future will be according to what you want us to be. And in one sense, this kind of stuff isn't riveting. It's not massively exciting, but it is important. And we want to thank you this morning, those of us who are part of your church. We want to thank you for your work of grace in our lives. Thank you that you've called us. Thank you that you've forgiven us. Thank you that you've called us to be with you. Thank you that we have a destiny to look forwards to. But in that journey between the calling and the complete ultimate destination, help us to walk with you, to fulfill your purposes in our life and among us as a church. Would you be glorified? Would you be high and lifted up? Would you be the factor, the cornerstone of everything that we're about? We bring ourselves to you as a church. Say, take us and use us for your sake. And if there's any, Father, that listen to this either now or listen online, Father, I pray for them that you will draw them to the point of repentance and faith and trust in Jesus, that they will gladly follow him and know that they're part of that ecclesia, those who've been called out by you. Please speak by the Holy Spirit and call out more and more people. Hear our prayers, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the song we finished with this morning is the Rend Collective song, Build Your Kingdom Here. Let's make this our prayer as we finish our time together.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. Seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives. For you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church, we pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church. Show your
let the darkness clear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray.
Oh Lord, would you do that? Would you build your kingdom? Build your kingdom here in Fressingfield. Build the kingdom in our country, in our nation. Would you turn us back? Would you send your Holy Spirit in these dark and difficult days? Do something that will bring honor to your name. Help us to play our part with you, our God, in all of this. Thank you for the optimism. Thank you for the opportunities that we will have this year. Thank you for the future that we have. Please come and move among us for your name, for your sake, and bring people into your kingdom. Now to him who is able to keep you, church in Fressingfield, from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory and power and majesty and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you've got any questions for any of that, anything you'd like developed or whatever, always happy to have those, happy to deal with them privately, happy to deal with them subsequently in other messages as well.